On this episode,
I'm more interested in new work. You know, I don't want to do 5,000 more prints than Natalie Wood. I would rather create.
Although that picture followed me around the studio for days, and when I had her done, we had it in a frame. Yeah. I'd walk past her, and she followed me. It was weird.
From the coveted corner booth in a little bar in the center of the Coachella Valley universe, welcome to another Big Conversation with Patrick Evans and Randy Florence. Gentlemen.
Thank you, Howard. We are here at Skip Page's Little Bar, the center of the Coachella Valley universe. My name is Patrick Evans, co-host of this delightful podcast, Big Conversations, Little Bar, and my fellow co-host, Randy Florence.
I loved how you pointed to me.
I always do that because I think we're on video.
We are.
In my mind, we are on video. So how are you, Randy?
I'm fantastic. Another week at Little Bar. What are we, like 60 close more episodes?
More than 60 episodes at this point. 61. This is our 61st episode.
Our what?
61st episode.
Yes, it is. Well, I'm having a fantastic time doing this with you, and I can't wait to do 63rd more of them.
Why don't you know, this is the first time we've actually had a repeat guest.
Yes.
It is someone who is worthy of coming on many times because of all of his great stories, but he's doing something really special, and he's brought a friend because they're endeavoring together in this artistic feat. It's very cool. Why don't you do the honor of introducing our guest today?
Well, I think this is very special. The first guest that we've had on for the second time on the show, Michael Childers, and thank you for being back with us, Michael.
And how do I rate this? It's so, because I really enjoyed doing our first show. Well, it was fun.
Well, you set the bar high for everybody else that we did after that, so thank you for us, but they're not happy with you. And I want to introduce also Stephen Bombach, photographer who's starting to dip into some new stuff here that we're going to talk about.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here.
And anything you want to know about this AI world, just fire away.
Well, this is going to be about a 9-hour episode.
Okay. So.
AI has become such the hot topic.
Absolutely.
And it's something that a lot of people, you know, we hear grave warnings about the dangers of AI and how it is going to change our lives and steal our jobs and do a lot of other things. But you guys have put it to use in your artistic endeavors. But before we jump into that, I want to know how you two got two great photographers. How did you guys get involved with one another on this project?
He points to me.
That's Michael pointing to Stephen.
Yeah, exactly. Well, one day, many moons ago, Michael took a trip to Yellowstone, and he brought back a lot of images and said, let's do something with these. Let's make some abstracts. And that was the first tranche of what we've done. And now Michael has seen some of the AI work I was doing in the studio, and he goes, let's do this. Let's use my photographs. Let's run them through the AI engines that we have at our use and then put them on top of the images that we created the first time. And it has turned out to be just fantastic.
Because, what I've seen is.
And there's been a lot of flubs as well because, you know, Michael will come over and go, oh, my God. You know,
but that's a good Michael, by the way.
And can't you do that somewhere? You know, I'm like, okay, fine. I'll do another one for you. And so that's the fun part, to see and interact with each other. To do this.
Is this the first time you guys have collaborated?
Yeah, I think it is, isn't it?
No. Huh? No.
Well, then give the other story.
We collaborated on two other shows at Melissa Morgan Gallery, and done really exciting things. But I, over the years, 54 years in photography, I've had maybe, 100 printers in around the world, different cities, and I've had about four who I really, really connected with. They were artists. They were just great artists. And this is one of them. He's a character, too. Makes me laugh. Yeah. But he just gets me, and I don't have to talk for an hour to explain how I want things. He gets the vibes that I'm sending out on where I want to go visually. He helps me. He opens up my eyes to take it further, you know. And sometimes too far.
Well, yeah, I've given you some that...
You're a bit far out, you know, like that LSD art or something like that, you know. Art by magic mushrooms.
Michael would go, I can't show that. Like, okay, all right, let's dial it back a little bit.
No, but we know when to dial back. And it is a collaboration. It's really exciting.
And when did you two meet?
We met
at an art fair?
Yes.
Palm Springs Art Fair. Yeah. Yeah. I think I was speaking.
I was literally hawking my wares there, trying to get new print customers. And, I met Michael, and he came to the shop one day, and I did some work for him. And ever since then, it's like a hairdresser. You just never let them go.
Yeah.
Because once you find a good printer, I understand what he wants. And I do it. And for the most part, Michael is happy. For the most part.
Do you know when he's not?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Well, I don't think Michael, suffers in silence.
No, he doesn't. As a matter of fact, this is... No.
No.
I'm never a manic depressive about my art.
Michael, you do such iconic work. What made you decide that you wanted to take the raw photographs and apply AI to them?
Because it lent itself to it, what I wanted to go, and freed me up. It opened the eyes. I don't know if you know the great book by Aldous Huxley called The Doors of Perception. Well, from reading this book, Jim Morrison did, he got the name The Doors, but it opens your mind to visuals. And it's all about this great, world's greatest philosopher using... In the 50s, I guess it was, LSD and psychotropics, and to open the mind, to see vision, not to be stoned, but to open, and find enlightenment up there, from this. And that's what this is about, to see new ways of seeing, and feeling.
Now, how do you choose the photographs that you want to enhance?
Well, they're in my mind. I've taken them before. I do new ones. I add to them, and they're classics. So I guess the oldest one's 25 years old. Mm. But I go back to them because they're clean line, and then Stephen can work from them that way. Much easier to do that, and to build on. It was wonderful in L.A. when I had a studio that had all these great mirrors and skylights, and you could just, put the three girls down on a velvet floor and then with a guy and doing a ballet sequence like that.
I've got one of those.
Yeah. That, Patrick, actually is my girlfriend Dora, and it's called Triple Dora, and she... That's just one image of this one girl doing a ballet sequence, and it's triple exposures with a funhouse mirror, and I photograph it three times, moving the camera on a track, so I get, that's the original image of the girl, and then you get these additional ones.
And then you ran this through the AI engine.
This is the AI.
Yes.
This is the AI, the smokes, the smokes and ghosts, and everything wonderful and sensual.
And you've used very sensual photographs for this exhibit.
Why not?
Well, I wasn't arguing with
you. I'm double Scorpio. Can't help it,
We're not complaining.
No.
There were a couple of pictures we couldn't show on Eye in the Desert. There were. You didn't AI them enough to.
So when something comes through the AI, are you surprised at what you see?
Absolutely, you are.
It's so exciting. Yeah. It's like going to a new show every week. Yeah. Like, oh boy, what are they going to show us? What are they sapping out of our minds? If they think they take things from your brain, I'm overloaded anyway. That's okay.
So what do you when you're manipulating an image? Mm-hmm. You have the image itself, but you have to give instructions to the AI engine. So what? Yeah. What instructions are you providing?
I don't. seriously, I don't. I use one of six different AI programs. And what I do is I present, you can do it two ways. You can say text to image or image to image. And with Michael's case, it was image to image. And I would put it in there and I would say, have your way with it. Tell me what you're going to give me back. And I can look, I can do this 100 times until I find the one that I want. And then if I get close to it, then I'll add some text to it saying, you know, I want you to do this, elongate, I want you to fatten, I want you to make this different color, and then really, really kind of get it down to where I want it.
I'd say, I want this image to be less homoerotic. I want it to be a liquefied, dust into liquid, and liquefy and hit this man's dreams, mm-hmm. with autoerotic dreams, you know, and not so pie on the eye.
Do any of them come out right the first time?
No. Never.
Well,
never.
Actually, you look sometimes there's too many good ones.
Yeah, you look at it and go, oh, my God, what is that? You know, Patrick, you hit it right on the head when you said that everybody is kind of scared of it.
Yes.
Here's the deal. It's like this man said over Boston Technology, we can always pull the plug because they do have plugs.
Yeah.
AI has gotten such a bad rap because it may shut down our electrical system. It may just shut down our water system. It may do this to us, do that to us. Yeah, not so much. Not yet. And that's a long ways away. We're using AI as artists to show us what the possibilities are.
But you're using it as a tool, much like you might use a filter or some other tool.
Absolutely. And you got to be careful of that because there's a lot of people that are selling filters saying that it's AI and it's just like organic or light or gluten-free.
Gimmicks.
You know, the advertising world is going to pull in on that and say, okay, you know, everything's going to be, we're going to make an AI toaster. Okay.
Well, yeah. HD was the big catchphrase.
Absolutely.
Everything was HD.
Absolutely.
And remember those old party tubes that had the trippy images?
Oh, the kaleidoscope.
Yeah. We used that Midnight Cowboy.
That's right.
I put the 35mm camera right up into that, and that's what the cowboy was seeing when he'd taken some particles.
That's genius. Just something
dust.
From a birthday party.
Yeah.
Now,
but that's what we don't want anymore, because that's early on. That's very primitive. Yeah.
I'm curious because both of you are master photographers, and you're dealing with your art. And when you then give it to AI, does it become less your product? Is it? Do you have a fear that at some point AI won't even need your original images to do what you're trying to do?
First of all, it's your image every time. You can create an image by using your words. And that image, once it's created, is yours. Go out on the internet. I dare you to try to find that image you just created. Because it's not going to happen. So the copyright laws are iffy right now. As you know, because government says, I don't know. So, you know, there's things we have to fix. But in the meantime, that image is yours. And there's a lot of purists that will come out and say, come on, that's fake. Well, yes, it is fake. But then again, it's yours. You created it using your words and your images.
The parameters of the manipulation were your parameters.
Absolutely.
So, I understand.
Let's not call it parameters. Let's call it prompt.
Prompting. Okay, I like that better.
That's a new phrase now, because now we would say, well, what was your ASA? What was your ISO? What was your film speed? What was your shutter speed? What was your digital file? Now it's, what was your prompt? Because everybody wants to know how to make that. So you're going to hear prompt more and more and more.
I use a little bit of AI during our weather.
Mm-hmm.
Not specifically for the weather graphics you see on TV, but for some of the articles we post to the web. And it's a lot of fun because you just type in the various prompts.
Mm-hmm.
And one time I was trying to create an image that would showcase some wind here in the desert. So I said, wind, blowing sand, palm trees. And then for fun, I said, a pool and dachshund.
Mm-hmm.
And it came up with pretty good windy palm trees, a little blowing sand, but the dachshund was standing on the pool right in the middle.
It's a pretty special dachshund.
It's like, wow, it is the Jesus of dachshund. It is walking
Jesus of dachshund
on water.
So it's pretty hard for, you know, AIs, they take things quite literally.
Very literally,
and,
yes.
And you have to, here's what I'm finding. I'm finding that writers are the best AI artists in the world right now because they know how to use their words. They know how to use adjectives and descriptors that all of us know, but they use them all the time.
Well, they've been writing to create visuals in people's minds.
Exactly.
So the computer then can take that and really turn it into an actual
visual. I took a paragraph from A Tale of Two Cities and I dropped it into the AI and said, give me this street that they're talking about. And I was very pleased because it almost nailed it right on the money.
When did you start experimenting with artificial intelligence as an application for art, for photography in specific?
About 2 years ago. And 2 years ago, it was not good because that little AI child had not learned enough from the internet and all the images that are out there. Trillions and trillions of images run in front of this thing so it could learn. But as it learns, oh my goodness, companies like OpenAI, who have been in existence for 18 months, have created a new video program called Sora that you will not know the difference. You cannot tell.
Is that good? Is that a good thing?
It's fantastic. It really is. Mm-hmm. I mean, this gets more people out into the art world to create things that they wanted to create in their mind but can't draw, can't paint, can't photograph. And now they can try this out. I know a woman who is in her 80s right now creating some of the most fantastical things I've ever seen. But she can't paint. And she can't draw. Yeah. But she can do this. So, you know, it's a tool.
It makes everything so much easier.
Absolutely.
The translation and the communication of senses from one to another. And you get some comments back from them that are rather alarming.
I bet.
Like, have you gone too far?
Yes.
You've not gone far enough.
Now, you've been doing this for 2 years. Mm-hmm. Go back to the beginning of your career as a photographer.
I've been doing this for 55 years, and it was the old high school thing. Hey, we need somebody to photograph the yearbook. And you get a dark room that nobody can come in while the door's closed.
That's pretty good.
For a high school kid?
Yeah.
Yes, sir, I will do this. So, that got me started, and I went on from there, military photographer there, and then got out and decided, okay, time to make it on my own, which was a lot of fun. You just don't jump in.
Right. Still have bills to pay.
You jump in, but yeah, there's still have bill space, so you still have to have a job.
And he loved all the toys he had in being in the military in Japan. You know, all these fun things you could buy at the PX on the weekends. Oh my God, look at that new Nikon lens. Look at that new Nikon.
Really. So you've always been involved. You really like the toys.
He loves.
Oh, absolutely.
I love the toys.
I've gotten so much away from the toys now. I mean, nowadays it's more like quality. And as you get older, I think that's what happens. You think, okay, you know, I can take 1,000 pictures, but can I take that one that, you know, is the one that's going to say that's a bomb bag? You know, same thing with Michael. Yeah, which one says, you know, this is a Childers. And so that's where you want to get.
Yeah.
But
were your subjects always people?
People and landscapes. And when I was in the military, the back end of aircraft, which was always fun. just everything I could get my hands on to photograph. And I've just had so much fun with it. But now this AI came in, I'm like, okay. I'm 70 years old, and I still have some time to play with this thing.
It's got to get the juices going a little bit.
Oh, my God, yeah. It does. You have no idea. You know, I'm like, what can I do now?
Some people, and particularly of a certain demographic, mm-hmm. are not in love with technology, but you clearly are.
Yeah.
You've fully embraced this. Mm-hmm. As Michael.
Yeah.
Now, did you embrace the technology or do you just love the results?
I love the results. I started out in high school, photographing yearbook. That was not much of a turn on.
But, it was for me.
Photographing the local theater production for the high school was. Photographing the girls' ballet class was. Photographing the swim team in the shower afterwards was. Mm. And things like that, you know. So, that led to many other things, you know. And then the portraits. When I went to college at UCLA, and everyone wanted headshots because they were trying to get a little TV part or something. So for $100, $100, 1962.
That's a lot of money.
That's big money.
Glossy 8x10. Yeah.
And so all these people start calling me up. You're pretty good. You're good. And people, and a lot of the pop groups, Jefferson Airplane, Jim Morrison was my roommate. And I'll tell you about that another time. And Kay Ballard was on a show called Mothers-in-Law.
Right.
And her PR man saw me and said, you're good, and you're a cute little guy. Yeah. I was like, okay, I'll photograph. I did Kay for TV Guide for two carburetors. And then John Schlesinger came to Los Angeles to open up a movie with Julie Christie called Far From the Manic Crowd, which was a bit of a flop, but beautiful film. And he said, oh, he's lonely. Would you show him around? Meet him at the Beverly Wilshire Hotel tomorrow at 6:30 for a drink. And, you know, be polite and wear a clean tie. So I showed up, and actually, I'd read in that afternoon in Time magazine that he was pretty much a bit of a jerk on the set. So yeah. That scared me. So I brought an actor friend and said, one kick under the table, we're both out of here. Two kicks, you get out of here. So it was two kicks. He was charming. He was great. And then walked his neighbor from London. I was in love with you. So next to Julie Christie, she's the most beautiful actress in the world, called Lee Remick.
Oh, yes.
And she walked in and says, oh, how are you? It's so nice to meet you. And John says, sit down, darling. Tell me, what are you doing in Hollywood? She said, well, I guess I'm here to audition for my leading man, my next movie. And he said, well, who is that, darling? She started to say, Frank. And what? Frank Sinatra sat down next to her. So then my first blind date, I was with Lee Remick, Frank Sinatra, and John Schlesinger. Try and top that.
It's impossible.
And pretty soon you're on the set.
That.
You're on the set of your first
Midnight
movie.
Midnight Cowboy.
Wow. What an amazing first set.
Yeah.
That's a great story. Stephen, when you came up through photography, when you first started doing, you were focusing people and landscape.
Mm-hmm.
Were people coming to you for things like headshots and stuff like that?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah? Is that how it started?
It was, like I said, glossy 8x10. you know, and I need 500 of them. I was like, yeah, okay, all right, right. But nowadays, that doesn't even happen anymore. It's a headshot, here's the file, and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, they
were you shooting for the military then?
I was shooting outside of the military. I had a kind of a outside job. The military, you know, the things that I did in the military, I couldn't apply to daily life. So unless, you know, airlines want weapons loaded on an aircraft, I can load them in an MK-82 on an aircraft easily.
Well, hopefully it's not going that
hopefully it's
direction.
Not going to happen that way. But
well, we have a hard time just keeping the doors in commercial.
Right? Yeah.
So I had to put weapons on them.
I had to find something that you know, was going to sustain me after I got out of the military. And photography, and then I just jumped right into computers when they started coming out in the 80s.
You also mentioned, and Michael talked about the importance not of just the photograph, but of the printing and the printer who does that, mm-hmm. the finishing process.
Absolutely.
And he loves how you do that. So that's as much an art and a technique as taking the picture, isn't it?
You bet. I teach photography, and I tell every photographer that your job is not done until you print something. It's just like the old darkroom days when you got that print through the soup and you hung it up. and you watched it come to life. We did the same thing with printers. And to see your print come off the printer for the first time, people are sometimes they're so gobsmacked that they go out and they buy a printer themselves, and then they don't know how to do it. You know? So I like to be their printer and help them out. I'm a photographer. I know what they want. I know how they want it. And most of the time, just like Michael will just call me. Say, I need two Natalie Woods, you know, and I'll do it.
And do something a little special. Just change a couple of things on the image.
Oh, my God. Remember that?
Yeah.
That was one of Michael's best images. It's a picture of Natalie Wood. I printed a 30 by 40, and he said, the buttons right here were undone.
The wardrobe lady had left them unbuttoned.
And you didn't know until you expanded up.
Well, it was on purpose because Natalie had a big broken bone there from childhood where she nearly drowned on the movie set. Hello.
Not even touching it.
So that was on purpose. Then we never noticed it through all the MGM stuff, which their retoucher usually would have grabbed it. But I said, fix it. It looks great.
So, I fixed all the buttons.
And Natalie Wood's daughter called me up recently and said, I see where you got Mama's gown. The undone buttons are all fixed over the scar.
So is there any consideration to going back to old stuff that you've done and see what you can do to it?
How about you, Michael?
A lot. But how much time to go over 60 years of
and some of it you take photographs and you keep literally thousands, and you think maybe I'll go back to it, but you know, crap is crap.
and AI is not going to fix that.
No, it's not going to fix it.
And it's
you
still crap.
Think you can hold on to it. Maybe something will resurrect it out of the dead.
I want to create new work.
Exactly.
I'm more interested in new work. You know, I don't want to do 5,000 more prints than Natalie Wood. I'd rather create new
Although
work.
That picture followed me around that studio for days. And when I had her done, we had it in the frame, I'd walk past her and she'd follow me. The whole way. It was weird.
You know, this is, in a way, as an artist, thousands and thousands of years, there weren't a lot of differences in what you did. You know, eventually you weren't using animal blood to paint anymore. You
Correct.
Were using watercolor and then oil. And it seems like now we've reached another point in art, except that this one has the opportunity to just blow up exponentially.
Yeah.
Where do you see this going over the next couple of years? Because the next couple of years are probably going to be incredible.
The next 6 months.
Yeah.
Because it's going very fast. That SOAR program I was telling you about, that just came out. And that should have taken years to make. And these guys cranked it out in less than six. So we're seeing stuff now. The same company, OpenAI, created one of their own androids. And I watched a video of the android that literally held a conversation with you while it did a menial task, like washing the counter.
I can't even do that.
Neither can I. So I'm like, you know, this is where we're going. As far as the art world goes, the sky's the limit. The nice thing about this is, like I said before, it gives all of us access to art, not just the people who have done it for years, but now, you know.
Well, as you say, they're off. I'm one of them. I can't draw to save my life. I have zero artistic talent, but AI gives people the opportunity to access that part of their creativity.
Yes. So I want to see an original Patrick Evans.
I'm going to have to use your software to do that. So I need to come to your studio.
Yeah.
But I have gone back through the files to find some movie posters I did, you know, 30, 40 years ago. And I found a great shot I did of Terminator. Which won the New York Art Directors Award. And I discovered through they did six different versions of it from my photograph, and that two of them had been early use of AI. And it's fascinating. So that's next week's project. We're going to go back and do our version of my poster the original Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Using AI on a Terminator machine. Which is also AI.
Ironic, huh?
There's a little bit of irony there. And he just got a pacemaker, so he is, in fact, a cyborg.
He is. That's right. That's right.
The $6 billion man.
That's right. So the exhibition is at the Melissa Morgan Fine Art Gallery. And oftentimes on a podcast, we don't do something that's immediately topical, but this is. It is coming up the 5th of April through the 10th of May. People will be able to see the artwork that you guys have produced.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a T. Do you know about the T?
Yes, on the 21st. 21st. A T.
Let's mention this.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, because if you're more interested in this, we'll go into depth. There's a free afternoon tea and cookies and cakes open to the public at Melissa Morgan. At what time is it? 3 o'clock? And just call the gallery and find out. Yeah, and it's really going to be interesting. Last time we had one of these, we had about 50 people, and it's fascinating.
And that's on April 21st.
Mm-hmm. Yep, to get their input. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and how many pieces are going to be on display?
10.
Yep.
Small show.
A small show, but I love the piece that you brought in and showed us. They are mind-boggling.
They're pretty.
Gorgeous.
Gorgeous. They're really good.
And so will everything in the exhibit be new? Will there be anything there that's a redo of something that you...
No, it's all new.
It's all new.
Every bit of it.
Wonderful.
Mm. We can't do old. There's just no way.
And so where do you see us in 6 months? Are we just going to close our eyes and the paintings will pop into our mind?
We're gonna have things, AI that's more intuitive. Rather than you wanting a paragraph to create something, you'll have to just say a few words, and it'll just dump it out on you. It's just amazing how far this has come, and I'm so excited. I can't wait. Like tomorrow, it may be something different. You just don't know.
He never stops working. Saturday night, still working in there. Yeah.
When you first heard about this, did you recognize right away, AI, that it could be a potential tool for you? Or were you like a lot of people going, uh-oh?
Yeah, no, I was of the ilk of everybody else that said, oh, my God, the train can go 30 miles an hour. It's Satan's work.
What, you know? what turned you around? What brought you around to this side of it?
I saw there's this gentleman in India that is doing some groundbreaking work. And he did a full body portraits of these people, colorful clothing, and it just kind of knocked my socks off. I was like, wow. So I just called him and said, okay, what are you doing? Because I want to do this too. And he gave me some applications and online things to look at. And then I started doing a lot of research on my own. Like you said, there's one side of the fence and the other side of the fence. One side of the fence is saying, hey, you're not going to use my images to learn because they're copyrighted.
Right.
And oh, by the way, we're going to put nightshade on it, so if AI even touches it, it dissolves. So we've already got that going. The other thing we have going is it's going to cost you money to do this now. You have to have a subscription, or each image is going to cost you X amount of cents. It's already a $13 billion industry, and it's going to get even higher.
Now, how expensive is the software? Well, I guess it's both software and hardware, isn't it?
Well, the hardware is what you buy. I mean, any high-powered system will do this for you. And the software is all online-based. There are some that you can like Adobe has one called Firefly that you can download. It's a fairly restrictive program. because I have this mind that just, you know, is kind of weird. So I want to do this, and then Adobe will say, yeah, not so much. So I have to go find another avenue. But it's all online-based now. There's no application like all of us know that we used to take out a CD and load it up.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Okay, so we don't do that anymore. There are some that are phone-based. If you want to get into it real quick, Wonder is one that you can just play around with and have a blast with.
Wonder,
yeah. Just it's free. You don't have to have a subscription for it. And just play around with it. Have a ball with it. And don't be afraid of it. I've had so many people tell me that this, oh, it's going to, you know, this is going to happen and that's going to happen. Yeah. Yeah, no. That's called generative AI. And generative AI is something that's still way down the road to where a thing or something becomes a sentient.
And are you becoming an AI expert or only as it relates to what you're doing?
Kind of both, because I've done a lot of reading on this stuff, and it's just, it fascinates the technical side of me,
yeah,
and also fascinates the photographic side of me. So it's kind of, I kind of smack the two together. And
he doesn't know, but next year we're going to work on a ballet. It's all done AI,
wow.
Which I saw briefly on television the other day on an arts program from CBS and from Boston, and it was one of the first ever done, a German group, and stunning, 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 yeah. With some just great, great, great music, and with only six dancers, but the use of the AI, you could look, some of them look like 60 dancers, and then it's cut down, and then the forms would evolve and melt and mollify before your eyes. Just great stuff. You better stay young, kid.
So, Michael, this is not just a passing fancy for you.
Oh,
this
no, I got plans. I got plans.
Yeah.
This is my, you know, at 80, I needed a new swimming pool.
And you dived right in.
Yeah.
Well, it's pretty cool that you dove into this at this point. I mean, what are we, like a year and a half into all of this stuff? You mentioned that there were, I think, six AI platforms right now that you use. You mentioned that the Adobe one, for instance, didn't do some of the stuff. Are they purposely making themselves, you know, like originally the search engines, Google and Yahoo, wanted to be different. Are they trying to make their own lane?
Absolutely. They, you know, Adobe makes their lane for everybody. You can't do certain things. And I think we all know what that is. So there's one for that out there as well. And they limit. There are limiters, governors, if you will, on their engines. Some are, some aren't. And the ones that aren't can be really fun. Trust me.
Your eyes light up when you talk about it.
Goodness. It's like, I'll put something in there I did a lot of figurative shots of myself in the early days, and then I just put them back in there now. I'm like, holy
crap. I'm guessing you were one of the first people on Prodigy and AOL.
Oh, yeah. When that little disc came to your door, you were like right in there. You've got mail.
You know, you know, he invented voyeur vision.
Well, I'm going to make sure and check that out.
He's writing that down.
That's not related to Panavision.
So, Michael, in the old days, you would do a movie poster or something, and something
I did 150.
150 of them, and these were things you were probably doing it pretty close to the rollout of the movie. But are you able to even plan ahead now, as things are changing so much? You say next year we're going to be working on an AI ballet, but do you even know what that's going to come close to looking like a year from now?
No.
Yeah.
Better.
That's got to be exciting.
Better. You know.
Yeah.
That's why you
yeah.
keep up. There's this group called TLDR that puts out an email to you every day of things that are happening. Every day, not a quarterly newsletter. No. It hits you just like, wow. You got to read these things. And just like, okay, yeah, I'll get that. Okay, take that, store it, on to the next one for the next day. So that's how fast things are changing.
Crazy.
I mean, I still read American Cinematographer magazine every month because there's always some new techie stuff in it that I love.
Yeah.
And also Dance Magazine has all the new lighting for theater lighting, all the new stuff that you never heard of that will be in theaters maybe 3 years from now. But it's pretty exciting.
Imagine using AI.
I want to know what the new toys are going to be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But imagine using AI to light your play.
Oh, yeah.
I've already done that.
Have you done that?
Yeah, I've used AI to light subjects, and it's like, wow.
Well, I mean,
do I have these lights?
The other night I was watching Streetcar Named Desire.
Mm. And great movie, yeah.
I was so fascinated by the lighting in it, you know, the way they lit Vivian Leigh through that whole thing. So
beautiful.
could you say as you roll something out?
What cameraman was that?
What's that?
What cameraman was that?
I wish I could tell you. I don't know.
Kazan's photography.
Yeah.
I'll think of it in a second.
But you could, my sense of it is that she wasn't happy getting older, and mm-hmm. so she was always making sure she was in poor lighting, and the cinematographer did a great job of showing that.
Sure.
But now will you, rather than hiring a cinematographer, will you just be able to say, hey, light Vivian Leigh like she doesn't like being fully lit?
Next year, you'll be able to do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. It's... Crazy. You have no idea the stuff that's coming down the road here.
You know, I think that's we've reached.
And neither do I. So
we can't imagine the next iteration.
And that's the fun part.
Yeah. That's
you don't know what's
also,
around the corner.
That's also what makes them scared.
The Skynet part.
Yeah.
The Skynet part. Yes, that's the scary part.
Well, getting back to the train. Trains go 300 miles an hour now, so we're not so much scared of that anymore.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Well. I love the fact that you've sort of taken this thing that people are scared of and in some ways tamed it to use it as a tool to really just fashion new art from the work that you've been doing. So it's just fascinating. And again, you can go see this exhibition, Michael Childers AI Photography. It is at Melissa Morgan Fine Art, opening on the 5th of April. On the 21st, there is a tea, and it's going to be. There's an opening reception on April 5th from 4 to 7, and it will be up through the 10th of May. So you want to go check these out. They're really striking. They're amazing. They're very sensual. It's pretty sexy stuff, Michael.
Thank you.
Really cool.
I'll show you the rest when you grow up.
Not old enough to see the whole collection.
When you guys are ready, come to the studio and we'll.
They're not ready for that.
Yeah. I definitely want. Yeah. I absolutely want to come to the studio.
100%.
And play around with this stuff because it sounds cool.
This is great. This is great.
Gentlemen, awesome. Yeah. Stephen, Michael, thank you so much for coming.
Thanks for having us.
You know, I think this is a. People talk a lot about AI. And it gets a bad rap in a lot of places. Mm-hmm. And it's really nice to hear people talking about using it in really positive ways. And you both are doing
And you that. Heard it first here.
We did.
In Coachella Valley on your show.
Yep. Right here on Big first. Conversations Little Bar. This qualifies as a big conversation.
I think this is a really big conversation.
On behalf of Randy Florence, my co-host, our great guests, Stephen and Michael, and our producer, John McMullen, I'm Patrick Evans. Thank you so much for joining us for this edition of Big Conversations Little Bar, and keep it tuned right here. Subscribe so you never miss an episode.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Big Conversations Little Bar, recorded on location at Skip Page's Little Bar in Palm Desert, California, the center of the Coachella Valley universe. This program is a production of the Mutual Broadcasting System. All episodes are available from BigConversationsLittleBar.com or from most major podcast portals, including Apple, Spotify, and Amazon Music.